Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners and writes the Week Ahead newsletter. And Larry, Anne Rung, as my colleague Jason Miller is reporting today, is rolling out a three-pronged acquisition improvement plan, three broad concepts: category management, acquisition workforce talent development, and stronger vendor relationships. The last two are more obvious to a casual observer than the first one. So explain the category management concept and why it's important to focus on it. Thanks for coming on.
Sure, Francis. I think category management and the fact that Anne Rung announced it's not a huge surprise, given that this has been a GSA initiative for at least the last 2 years, and Anne came to OMB after having been at GSA. So I think this is an attempt to take the GSA initiative and roll it out across other government agencies. Category management, I think, you know, asking what it is a little bit like asking what goes into falafel. If you really tell the recipe, somebody might come do you in. But it's intended to be, I think, a way for federal agencies to share best practices more easily, for people that truly are best in class in a specific agency for acquiring technology, furniture, pharmaceuticals, what have you, to be the lead agency for acquiring those goods and services, and be the one that directs other agencies in how to best come at acquiring those things, whether it's by buying from the leader in a specific category or by following the example they set. Think at its best, category management is not classically understood to be commodity management. You've heard people at GSA say that, for example, that they purposely stayed away from that phrasing. So that comes with it, commodity management, the connotation of, well, you know, everything's a commodity, and is everything the government buys really a commodity? I think the answer to that is definitively no. If, however, category management gets tagged with the commodity management label, I'm not sure how much forward traction it will have.
The other two are topics that we've talked about on this program. You and I and other folks have talked about fairly extensively. I don't think anybody doubts that the acquisition workforce could use more talent development, both of the people who exist there now, and no reflection on them. It's an area that is always open for improvement, and among the folks that come in to help them understand, especially, I imagine, industry hopes that the focus will be on understanding best value and not just finding the best deal, and I'm using air quotes as I say the word deal.
I can see them. Well, that, in fact, is the case. Government really has never recovered, Francis, from the contracting brain drain it went through in the 1990s. So both the depth and breadth of experience that you would hope to have inside the federal government in terms of acquisition, you don't really have today. And again, as you said, this isn't really a knock against the hardworking people in the acquisition workforce today, but I think any one of them would tell you that they're overworked and underloved. And the idea here is to augment the workforce so that the workload is spread a little bit more evenly across people who have a fuller understanding of what it is that they're buying. This is the type of thing that doesn't happen overnight, Francis, but whether you're in government or industry, you want to have a good business partner who's knowledgeable about what you're offering or buying sitting across the table from you. And I think a good place to start with Anne Rung's initiative is to provide some consistency at the Federal Acquisition Institute. You know, there's been a lot of turnover at the head of that agency over the last, pick a number of years, half a dozen. So getting some stability there and tying it up with the Defense Acquisition University that does do a good job with DOD workforce training is key to the success of Anne's initiative. I think also that industry, or government rather, should not be reluctant to look to industry to help with that education. there's a lot that industry can do. And in fact, a lot of the resident knowledge about government acquisition processes is now at least as resident in industry as it is in government.
Is the trust level high enough, though, between industry and government for them to be willing to listen to what industry has to say, even if the knowledge is there?
That's a good question, Francis, and unfortunately I think the answer is not quite. That was reflected, I think, more recently down in Fort Belvoir, where the defense procurement and acquisition policy crowd got together with industry to talk about best practices and share knowledge. There were over 300 people at that event just about a month ago, and asked for some of the outcomes from that. The DOD officials said, well, you know, it was an interesting exchange, but we're not planning on changing much. That's a little dispiriting. people got a nice trip to Fort Belvoir out of that day, but apparently not a lot else.
Yeah.
So that transitions into Ann Rung's third initiative at OFPP, which is the need for improved government vendor relations.
And that's something that OFPP administrators, well, pretty much as far back as I can remember, but especially the last several, have talked about in pretty specific terms. Dan Gordon put the Mythbusters concept on the street. Joe Jordan pushed it some while he was there too. And I don't know if Ann will go in that exact direction, but it sounds like the concept is one she wants to continue to pursue.
Well, it is a concept that should be pursued, because really, when a contractor is working with a buying agency, whether it's a DOD contracting shop, the people at NASA SOUP, for example, or GSA, the people at NASA SOUP, the DOD buying shop, and GSA have the same common customer that the contractor has. And working towards fulfilling that common customer's mission need is something that they both have in common. I think that there's a tendency to look at the contractor-government buyer relationship as an adversarial one. Unfortunately, the few, and they are few, bad actors in this space get the attention, and not just the attention, they drive the rules and the perception. The result is an acquisition system that doesn't particularly work as well as it could for anybody. So being able to get past those exceptions and understanding that, as a general rule, the contractor you're working with as a government buyer has the same interests at heart that you do, that'll help you serve your common customer a lot better.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners and publishes the Week Ahead newsletter. One of the items in the newsletter this week is titled, DOD Continues to Walk in Cloud Circles. And that's not a flattering analogy, but I imagine it's one that you believe is particularly apt right now.
Well, I think it is. I mean, DOD officials can't decide whether they want to centralize cloud acquisition through an organization like the Defense Information Systems Agency, or if they want it to be decentralized in the service branches and other places. Right now, they're tending to go toward that. Is FedRAMP certification enough for a cloud provider? In what circumstances might it not be? You hear a lot about innovation in terms of moving certain operations to the cloud, but when companies actually sit down with certain DOD officials, it's clear that they are more in favor of taking baby steps toward cloud policies, where DOD owns its own cloud, and that is fine, and in some cases necessary, but it also slows the process down a lot, meaning that DOD lags fairly significantly behind the commercial sector in the adoption of cloud use. And it also means that some of the cost savings that are available through hosted clouds by off-site commercial providers aren't being realized.